Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 224 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Hannah Taylor. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing part two of chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. The Half-Blood Prince. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to turn to podcast number 224.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, way through the details. Before we begin, Megan has awesome Swish weekly profit news.
I do. So I don't know if you guys know this yet, but we have officially dropped a quart of Swish and Flick merch in our shop on our website at swishflickcast.com. I made a little tab on there to direct you to be able to listen to a quart of Swish and Flick. And then also in our shop, there's like a special category that just has the quart of Swish and Flick merch, which includes a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, a water bottle, a coffee tumbler, and a tote bag.
Mm-hmm. It's cute.
Tis cute. So if you guys would like to, the turnaround times as of right now, like, should be fine for Christmas. And also, like, I know last year the turnaround times were insane. It was taking months sometimes for some of the stuff to come in, but it's back to normal now. So should be like a 1.5 week turnaround ish, something like that.
That's not bad.
On a printed item. So yeah. Make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it gives you access to the exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. If you'd like to send your Potter story or any questions or concerns, you can do so to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
You went so fast, I didn't get to thank you for setting that up on the website.
Oh, no problem.
Well done.
With our fancy new pictures.
Because I don't know how to do that.
Oh, I guess I did.
Sometimes
do
I don't know how to do it. I'm just like, I think this is how it's.
I'm going to click around until I figure this out.
Yeah, with our fancy new picks, shout out to Carrie. Thank you for taking
yes. Carrie Thornton Photography, I believe, is her Instagram handle.
I can't wait for the pictures of Sarah to get out onto the internet. Because they're just so good.
We'll see so if they good. Ever make the way today.
Yeah. Oh, Carrie, they will.
Carrie Thornton Photography. And you can see some really cool stuff.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Also, follow us on A Quarter of Thorns and Roses. No, it's not. A Quarter of Swish and Flick on Instagram. That doesn't sound right. A Quarter of Swish and Flick on Instagram. You can see, I think there's two posted pictures posted so far. Mm-hmm. I'll get around to posting other ones. I'm really sucky at captions.
Just use emojis.
Also, descriptions for episode to episode. So if you don't like them, talk to them about it. Because I don't know how to change it. Can't change myself.
Oh, gosh. Well.
Bree says just use Taylor Swift lyrics.
I don't know who that is.
That's a lie.
Never heard of her.
How about Adele?
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
I don't know anyone.
I don't even know myself. Katie.
Yeah.
Gobble, gobble. It's the recap.
That was cute. It is Thanksgiving Eve when we're recording this, so appropriate. All right, recap time. So McGee helps everyone get their class schedules together. It looks like Harry and Ron are going to have quite a bit of free time. At least until they sign up for potions again, because Slughorn's teaching potions, so Harry can get into that class after all. Future Auror alert. Look out. We left off with the very beginning of Snape's first defense against the Dark Arts class. It's a little different from what we know from previous years.
Dada.
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 It's going to make a comment, but I won't. Anyways, of course, Harry gets a detention in the very first class he has with Snape, and then he gets invited on a date with Dumbledore for the same day. And he can't do both, Etha says, and he thinks he'll get out of detention and be able to go on his date. So he and Ron try to do some homework, and now it's time for potions with Slughorn. Boop, 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 boop. So he already has a few potions brewed, and then he has like ask them questions about it. Of course, Hermione answers them all, and then he has them all brew some liquid luck, and the person with the best potion then wins some liquid luck themselves. Obviously, Harry, being the lucky chosen one that he is, follows the instructions that are written into the book that he has and wins, which is upsetting to both Hermione and Ginny, but for different reasons.
So Snape tells Ron that he's pathetic.
We you know what, Snape? This. You know?
Because he's not able to perform nonverbal spells in the first lesson. Let's think about this for a second. Like, why is a student pathetic because of something that... Did he even, like, teach them? Or is that just something that you have to, like, read and apply? Because it's nonverbal. You know
even
what I mean?
Even if it is, he was just like... Okay, do it.
Yeah, so it's like it's just annoying to me.
He's
that,
a petty
teacher. Well, but like, is he saying it because he wasn't able to do it, or that he's not really trying to non-verbally do it?
Ron, like, was trying.
No, but like, he was trying not to speak, but he didn't actually say, didn't even try to do anything under his breath like other students were doing.
No, because he was purple in the face, I think is what it said. It says oh my gosh.
Not saying, I don't think Snape is right in any way, shape, or form, but...
Right. So basically, Snape uses this as an opportunity to step in, and he turns his wand onto Harry so fast that Harry pretty much, like, blacked out and does what Harry James Potter does and reacts. And so he yells out Protego, and his shield charm is so powerful that it knocks Snape off balance, and he hits a desk.
Ooh.
Okay,
I would have had a really hard time not laughing.
This is but the thing is, it's hard to like fault Harry for that, because
especially after last
it's
year.
Instinctive. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and last year they had their whole occlumency lessons, and that obviously went really nicely. And so he's on the defense. Like, they're literally living in like some war times. And so, you know, he's going to react. And so the whole class is basically like, ooh. and we are served a hot piece of sassy Potter pie.
Yeah.
This is just the best.
Quote, do you remember me telling you that we were practicing nonverbal spells, Potter? Yes, said Harry stiffly. Yes, sir. There's no need to call me sir, professor. And I live round for this applause. Moment. It's just, but here's the thing. Also, just like how his shield charm was reactive without thinking, so is the sass. Mm-hmm. So it's
so good.
Should he have said it? But we're here for it.
That's right.
I just think that it's telling that, like, Harry didn't want to be embarrassed or hurt initially. So that was just like a reaction to be like, I'm not going to let you embarrass or hurt me in front of the entire class.
Yeah. And obviously, I think this is like Harry is hitting his threshold with Snape.
Yeah.
Like, there's only, I mean, there's only so much verbal abuse that someone can take. And he does it to him all the time. Like, anytime, I feel like anytime we hear about, you know, what was potions lessons, it was something degrading Harry. And it's like, there's literally only so much that one human can take before they start acting out.
Harry Potter used sass attack and it was super effective.
Oh, Katie. So the words had escaped him before he could even think about what he was saying. And several people in the class gasped at this, including Hermione. Dramatic.
You attacked a teacher.
But Harry's gentleman crew were very appreciative of this. So Ron, Dean, and Seamus were grinning behind Snape's back. And then Snape makes a date with Harry. A date for detention. And
did you literally write that?
I did write that.
How funny. Because I wrote that he had a date with Dumbledore.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
So he also says that he doesn't shake cheek from anyone, including the chosen one. So thank you. Ron is in awe, of course. Yes.
Do you think that that was detention worthy, or should he just have like doxed points?
Doxed
points. I think it's a little bit much.
I don't know. It's not like he like carried on and on and on. So yeah, I would have taken points. But anytime that Snape can like really get to Harry, I feel like he's gonna really get to Harry.
But like, does Snape really want to spend time with Harry?
Well, he wants to degrade him.
He doesn't necessarily have to spend time with him. Just tell him to do something and he walks away.
Still extra minutes.
Well, he's getting back.
Like, is
James.
It worth it to him to like
he's getting back make James
him
every time.
Like punish him and like, you know, humiliate him in his mind.
Yeah.
For like 5 minutes of him being in his time, like presence. How, might be worth it.
Their detentions are so ridiculously childish. Long sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like normally, I mean, I remember
like an hour.
It was like
30
minutes or an hour. And yeah. It depended on like how bad it was. It, like the detention could differ time based on like how bad whatever you did was.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, like, think about how long that detention with Lockhart was.
Jesus. Hours. Hours. But, you know, this is Hogwarts. We also like to go into the forest, so it's neither here nor there.
True.
All right. So, like I said, Ron is in awe.
Jeez.
Of Harry's sass, but Hermione is not. And she told him that he really shouldn't have said that. But as Harry says, he said it because Snape was trying to jinx him.
Which is true.
I mean, he was gonna non-verbally jinx him. Also, how does that show how to do anything? Because you're not doing anything.
It's an excuse. Yeah.
It's like a theory that you have to apply rather than something that you can like physically show someone.
It's a power play.
Well, if you think about it, this is exactly how he tried to teach Harry occlumency, and like that's
right. He's like, let me just jump into your mind and see what you can do.
Like, that's not gonna work.
And let me look at all your little private thoughts. No, sir. No, thank you. So Harry says, quote, he tried to jinx me in case you didn't notice, fumed Harry. I had enough of that during those occlumency lessons. Why doesn't he use another guinea pig for a change? What's Dumbledore playing at anyway, letting him teach defense? Did you hear him talking about the dark arts? He loves them. All that unfixed, indestructible stuff. And then Hermione says something that's kind of like a slap in the face, but also is like a pat on the back at the same time. Well, said Hermione, I thought you sounded a bit like you. like me. Yes, when you were telling us what it's like to face Voldemort, you said it wasn't about memorizing a bunch of spells. You said it was just you and your brains and your guts. Well, wasn't that what Snape was saying? That it really comes down to being brave and quick thinking. And he just was. Harry was so disarmed that she had thought his words as well worth memorizing as the standard book of spells that he did not argue. And aww. I'm shocked that he didn't say anything, even though he was in such like, I don't know, it was like a, such a high compliment. Like, I'm surprised that he wasn't like, I'm not like him.
Right.
Anyways, so at this moment, Jack Sloper, everybody. Remember him?
Good old Jack Sloper.
One of the beaters from Gryffindor last year was there holding a roll of parchment for Harry. And he also asked about when the trials were going to be for the team. And I was like, who? You know, good old Jack.
Did he take over whenever Harry was banned for life?
Banned for life.
And, oh, yeah. And the Weasleys, right? Because he took over for one of the Weasleys.
Yeah.
So according to the wiki, he's a wizard.
Oh, thank you, Wiki. Mm-hmm.
Substitute beater for the Gryffindor Quidditch team in 1995, along with Andrew Kirk, K-I-R-K-E is the spelling. And he took over for Fred Weasley and George Weasley. But he, spoiler alert, is going to be unsuccessful in joining the team this year.
Oops. Sorry, yeah. Slope.
So it says that he and Andrew were both described as incompetent by Angelina Johnson, and that was particularly evident when Jack knocked himself unconscious with his own bat.
Oh my God.
I love that. Himself? What a journey.
That would be me.
Oh, goodness. So that's Jack. Good old Jack. And he says something more about wanting the trials to be this weekend, but Harry's not listening to him. And he just now notices that the handwriting on the parchment is slanted, which means that it's Dumbledore.
Dear Harry, I would like to start our private lessons this Saturday. Kindly come along to my office at 8 p.m. I hope you are enjoying your first day back at school. Yours sincerely, Albus Dumbledore. P.S. I enjoy acid pop.
Ron's like, what? What about acid pops? And Harry's like, it's the password, turd, for the gargoyle outside his office. And Harry feels victorious because this is when his detention with Snape is supposed to be. And we know that the Dumbledore trumps the Snape. And here's where I want to make a bold statement, because when reading this time, I felt like this could be like one of those Dumbledore cartoons. You know, where Dumbledore's like absolutely wild.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he gets word that Snape is giving Harry a detention, like through the portraits. And he's like, Fox, take note. Dear Harry, no detention. Suck it, Snape.
Yes.
But exactly. Like, what if? What if he like found out through the portraits and was like,
I love that you're screaming at
I'm excited because I feel like this could totally happen.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
Because, you know, Dumbledore does these sneaky little things.
Thinks he's just above everybody.
Well, it's because he is.
Okay.
So Ron thinks that Dumbledore will be teaching Harry some spectacular magic that, like, none of the Death Eaters even know. You're not wrong. And Hermione thinks that he will be learning advanced defensive magic. Also not wrong. And so after the break, Hermione goes to Arithmancy while Harry and Ron go to the common room. They start Snape's homework, which is so complex that by the time Hermione gets back from class, they're still not finished. But once she joins them, they basically copy her and everything speeds up really fast.
That's not what the book said.
It said the process sped up.
That doesn't mean they copied off of her. She probably helped them out.
Copy.
Maybe a little bit of both.
That afternoon, they had their first class with Slughorn, which is double potions, and they head down to the dungeons, which is a whole different animal now because it's not something that they necessarily have to dread. So, quote, when they arrived in the corridor, they saw that there were only a dozen people progressing to the new level. Dozen!
Ew.
Crabbe and Goyle had evidently failed to achieve the required OWL grade, but shocker. Four Slytherins had made it through, including Malfoy, four Ravenclaws were there, and one Hufflepuff. Ernie Mac.
Ernie Mac.
He's basically not the best.
Who Harry liked despite, rather, his pompous manner. Oh, Ernie.
He thinks he's basically the best.
Basically. He does. Not that great.
So Ernie says Harry portentously, which I honestly had no idea what that meant. So I looked it up. And it said, eliciting amazement or wonder, being a grave or serious manner, self-consciously solemn or important. And the one that I understood the best, pompous.
Yeah.
Which sounds like Ernie Mac.
Yeah.
I just don't like the feels. I don't like his vibe. You know?
I'm sorry. What don't you like?
He's too pompous. I don't like that. I don't appreciate that in a person.
I'm going to put my nose in the air every time I reach.
There's a difference between confidence and being pompous.
Yes, I agree.
And he's just on the pompous. He's just trying to impress.
Yeah.
He's putting on airs.
Yeah.
Airs.
Airs. So he says, Harry. Didn't get a chance to speak in Defense Against the Dark Arts this morning. Okay. Good lesson, I thought. But shield charms are old hat, of course, for us old DA lags. How are you, Ron Hermione?
Hold on. Because I feel like he sounds old-timey.
Yes.
Like,
I know.
Harry, old boy. Didn't get a chance to speak with you on Defense Against the Dark Arts this morning. Good lesson, I thought. But shield charms are old hat, of course.
That's exactly like, what I got. Like pompous, though.
What year is that? Like the 30s?
Right.
Think of the Great Gatsby.
Yes.
Yeah. So Harry really doesn't even get to answer him because Slughorn comes in and Harry was just going to say fine, but he like doesn't really get it out. Slughorn greets them, but particularly Harry and Zabini with extra enthusiasm because he remembers them from the Slug Club meeting on the train.
Don't you mean Zambini?
No, it's Zabini. I'm trying to correct myself. I actually want to say it wrong.
I was like, is it Zambini?
So Harry notices that there are already potions brewing in the classroom and they pass some very large bubbling cauldrons. So the Slytherins all sit at a table together. The Ravenclaws all sit at a table together. And then that leaves Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ernie Mac to sit together at the third table.
Third.
Hey. Third or nothing.
What a small class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not as... Like, it's not as hard to get into the class as it was with Snape.
Yeah. You have to get E. So only 12 people got. But I guess maybe you could have gotten an E and
didn't need it.
So yeah, suppose, maybe you've just decided, like, okay, I'm done. And it doesn't do anything for me with my career path. So I'm not going to take it. And also, it is quite possible that a handful of people decided not to go forward because maybe they didn't like being taught by Snape and they didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, true.
Because I'm just going to say now, I think that I would have loved to take potions being taught by Slughorn.
He's a good teacher. I was telling Meg when I was reading this.
But he's a good teacher.
Yeah, if he casts aside all that, like, you know, the annoying parts of him, he is a really good teacher.
And he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So they, at the table that Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ernie sat at, it is a gold-colored cauldron, and Harry describes the scent coming from the cauldron as
gold. The
most seductive scent that he ever inhaled.
Ooh. Welcome to year six.
Oh. Welcome to scenting Ginny.
Well, it reminds him of treacle tart, the woody smell of a broomstick handle, and something flowery he thought he might have smelled at the burrow.
Ow, ow.
I don't know. Ginny, what's your perfume? Is it flowery?
Probably.
And he just, like, he noticed that he was breathing very slowly in and out, just, like, taking the smell in, and he felt very content. And he grinned over at Ron, who was grinning lazily back at him.
Oh, my God.
So it's, like, making them feel love drunk, basically, just from the smell. But that shows you how strong that potion is. Like, mm-hmm. just from them smelling it, it's having an effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
So Slughorn tells them all to take their scales out, their potion kits, and their copy of advanced potion making. And Harry raises his hand and is like, hey, dude, didn't think I was going to be here. So me and Ron don't have anything that we need, basically. And Slughorn's like, that's okay. Go to the store cupboard, borrow some scales, take an old book, take some potions. I mean, potion ingredients. You'll be good.
I love this scene in the movie.
It's great.
Yeah, it's different from the book, though, in the sense that, like, I didn't realize they both got tattered old books.
Yeah, yeah, same. I forgot stuff
that they get as old, and not them fighting over one clean book and one horribly ugly book.
Yeah,
right.
I just love like the scramble.
It's yeah, funny,
it's funny.
Yeah.
So he directs them to the cupboard, and then he actually brings over two copies of the book, and like Sarah just said, they're both old, and sets them on the table for them. And he just says that they can write to Flourish and Blotts to get their own copy, and these will work until they get them. And then he starts the lesson by saying that the potions he'd brewed are some of the things that they should be able to brew by the end of any WT potions, which I think is really cool.
It's actually this is actually a good teaching strategy, where you show your students an end result so you can see the product that you know you're striving to meet and yeah. to get to.
That's really cool.
Oh, Lily in the chat. it's a great tool for scaffolding, and I approve, which I rarely do in Hogwarts education. So well done, Slughorn. Oh, that's so funny.
Everyone's saying Ginny's perfume is geranium scented.
Oh, I'm here for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's confirmed like that he is smelling her perfume.
Do they have the geraniums have scent?
Yeah, they never smell like
like S word for poop.
Honestly, though, to me, geraniums just kind of smell like greenery. Like, yeah, I agree. You know, like their leaves have more of a prominent smell than their flowers, in my opinion.
What's green? What do you mean?
Like leaves, like green.
Green smell.
Like, there's okay in Florida. There's this scent that I smell all the time that is just like peppers. It's very weird to explain.
Like sweet pepper.
Like green peppers.
I know what you're talking about now.
So that's like photosynthesis, actually. It's like the smell of photosynthesis. Cool? So like to me, like you're that,
putting me on
that. I'm serious.
Is photosynthesis because, a smell?
Yes, it smells like it peppers. Is. So like it to me that, and I just smell it a lot in Florida because there's a lot of sunshine. So like I smell that around certain plants, and I always wondered if it was like a specific plant that smelled like that, but I was like talking to my friends about it, and they're like, no, actually, like we wondered what that was too, and found out that it's just photosynthesis.
It's the plants cooking up a feast.
Yeah,
you stop.
Yeah, it's chlorophyll. That's yes,
more like borophyll.
Thank you, Finny. That is what Tiffany. I meant.
photos.
So anyway, that to me, like geraniums just kind of like smell like greenery. Anyway, I know
what you mean.
I imagine her perfume smells like.
So she smells like peppers and opinions is what you're telling me?
No, I don't think she smells like geraniums. I think that she probably smells like honeysuckles or.
Ooh, I like honeysuckle.
Or honeysuckles.
Lily of the Valley.
At the Burrow?
Jasmine.
What's that? Yeah, what's at the Burrow? Have we ever learned that before?
I don't think so.
Stopping to smell a rose.
If it's her perfume, though.
True.
Oh, but does she wear perfume or does she just smell like the crap around her house?
Don't they have like chickens? You smell like chicken poop.
She smells like garden gnome.
Oh. I imagine she smells like Bath and Body Works body spray.
The Gernumblies with the glitter. She's got the glitter roll on.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's the 90s, man. It's the glitter roll on.
Totally got the glitter roll on.
Hold on. Let's look up. I'm going to look up Bath and Body Works scents from the 90s. We're going to figure
Sweet
this
pea.
Out.
Juniper yes. breeze.
Oh, cucumber pea. Melon.
No,
oh.
Oh,
yes.
What Harvest is the one apple.
What is the one that's like midnight something or other that smells like old ladies? I love that smell.
Wait, yeah. Use that
isn't
one for
it,
forever.
Isn't it like moonlight
it's
something?
Moonlight
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moonlight
that's straight up old lady.
Oh my god.
So good.
Probably makes you think of your grandma, who's most likely no longer with you.
There's a whole Bustle article about 10 classic Bath and Body Works scents are back. Cucumber melon's number one. Brown sugar and fig.
Their amber one I used to use all the time, and then I started having a reaction to it.
Country apple.
Country apple. I said harvest apple. Yes, country apple.
Cucumber melon.
Is juniper breeze on there?
Every time I see this word, my mom I pronounce it incorrectly in my head, to the point where I might pronounce it incorrectly when I say it, but it's potpourri. But I, in my head,
you said it right.
I know. Okay. I want to say potpourri.
Me too. That's what my grandma used to call it. Potpourri.
Oh, that's so,
so do we want to know what these three potions are?
No, I'm going to keep looking up Bath and Body Works. Are you talking about Twilight Woods?
Oh, that's another good one.
What did you say? The old lady
moonlit path. Moonlit path. Straight up, you smile it. You're like, that's grandma.
Mm-hmm. And you like that?
Yes.
I might buy it on eBay for you.
You don't have to. I can't use any of that stuff. My skin's so sensitive now that if I use anything scented, I get horribly itchy.
Oh my.
Especially anyways, that stuff. It's very
this was a lovely walk down memory lane.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I love 90s Bath and
Body
Works.
Who knew where we would go, friends?
You never know. So at the Slytherin table is Veritas Serum. And it is a, according to Hermione, because she answers the question, a colorless, odorless potion that forces the drinker to tell the truth. At the Ravenclaw table is Polyjuice Potion, which Hermione also answers the question to. And Harry says that he also recognized it, but he's not bitter over the fact that she got the points because, you know, she is the one that brewed it, not him.
So she
does recognize it. A new level potion. Yeah, second year.
But
it's insane.
That's a little foreshadowing to the end of the chapter when someone else is mad that someone else wins.
And then at Ron, Harry, Hermione, and Ernie's table is Amortentia, and it is the most powerful love potion in the world. It has a distinct Mother of Pearl sheen, which I love Mother of Pearl. It's so pretty. And then the steam rises in characteristic spirals, and it smells differently to each person. And Hermione starts explaining what it smells like to her, which is freshly mown grass, new parchment, and she doesn't finish.
Ron Weasley. What does what does he smell like?
Ginger.
What did they say? What are the two scents already?
Yeah. Fresh parchment.
And grass. Freshly mown grass.
I also like that smell, by the way.
I do too, but it makes me sneeze.
Did she say mint in the movie?
Yeah.
She says spearmint. Yeah.
Spearmint toothpaste. So they like, that's like a thing that they added in because it's like whenever Harry first gets ooh, to the burrow, he's brushing his teeth and Hermione's next to him.
Mm-hmm. She reaches over.
And she reaches over to like get the toothpaste off his face because it's like dribbling. And then when we get here, she says spearmint toothpaste. Which
okay,
is supposed to be like a call out to that.
So in the movies, he's supposed to smell
spearmint toothpaste.
Let's look up and see what on Book and Reverie what he smelled. What his
oh, that's
like
a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yes. What would Ron we've got Weasley?
Vinny says sweaty teenager.
I mean, probably
not.
Sarah Ann.
Not that kind of podcast. Oh. I think he would smell like something sweet.
I think he would, yeah, like.
Like a ginger newt cookie or something.
Or
like something warm.
Lily says chicken legs.
I was going to say like a roast chicken.
Nope rope says sausages. Jen says the inside of Honey Dukes because he can't stop eating sweets.
Chocolate.
Lily also said Axe body spray.
So according to Book and Reverie, which if you haven't bought candles from her, proceed with caution because she will get all your money because you're going to want to buy all the candles. Mm-hmm. I literally just bought 3 candles and I probably have a million of hers that I haven't even lit yet. So there's that. But according to Ron, Ron smells like cinnamon rolls, grass, and his soap.
That candle smells really good too. Mm-hmm. I have that one.
I have that one as well. The only one that I don't love that I have from her is like, it's not much, but it's home only because it's super sweet. But I knew that going in. I'm going to give that candle, which I keep saying to my sister, and I just actually haven't given it to her though.
Hey, but all of her candles smell really good.
We'll see if I give it to her. She just knows like it's there, like she's smelled it before. It's like, here's a leftover candle that I bought for myself.
So Slughorn is impressed with Hermione and asks her name, and she tells him, and he asks if she's related to Hector Dagworth Granger, who founded the most extraordinary society of potioners. And she says, I don't think so, because I'm muggle-born. So Hector is a British wizard, the founder of the most extraordinary society of potioners. He was known to understand that no such elixir has been created to control and create love. And among many other leading potioners, he doubted that it was possible to create such a truly unbreakable and eternal affection. And this is in Tales of Beetle the Bard, apparently, as well as Half-Blood Prince. So the most extraordinary society of potioners, literally all we know about it is the fact that this dude founded it. That's like literally all we know. And again, it's mentioned in Half-Blood Prince and the Tales of Beetle the Bard. Malfoy and Theodore Knott snigger, but Slughorn ignores them. And then he makes the connection with Harry that this is his friend that he had talked to Slughorn about, and awards Hermione 20 points for Gryffindor.
Super cute.
Woo!
Woohoo! Yeah, Malfoy's not happy about that.
Forget you, Malfoy.
He's described as looking like that time Hermione punched him in the face.
Love that.
Yep, love that journey for him. So Hermione, this is so cute, turns to Harry. She's got this radiant expression, and she whispers, "Did you really tell him I'm the best in the year? Oh, Harry."
Look, they're giving each other back-to-back compliments.
Right? And then Ron goes, "Well, what's so impressive about that?" And he looked annoyed. "You're the best in the year. I'd have told him if he asked me." And, like, of course that makes her smile, but then she, like, kind of shushes them because she wants to hear Slughorn. And Ron looks a little disgruntled about this. Someone's a little jelly belly. So Slughorn continues talking about Amortentia. It doesn't create love because that's impossible to make or imitate, but does cause powerful infatuation or obsession. And he says it's probably the most dangerous and powerful potion in the room. We know this is true because there's a whole room dedicated to it in the Department of Mysteries.
So I just want to say that it's kind of crazy that, like, these kids should be able to brew this at the end of the year.
Yeah, right. Honestly.
I mean, they're almost done with school, though.
I know.
You know? It's time to start trying this stuff out.
With everything that magic can do, I feel like a lot of it is just, like, you got to be responsible with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Sarah, just do what you want. Break all the rules.
You be Voldemort, whatever.
Oh my god. You want to know, Jab? Go be Voldemort.
What did you tell Alana?
What did I tell her? Oh, that I go, how did I say it? Something about, like, she was picking her nose. And I was like, that's how, I'm like, you'll lose your nose. I'm like, that's why Voldemort doesn't have a nose.
Because he picked it.
I go, your mom knows all about Voldemort.
So, like,
ask her.
All night. Voldemort doesn't have a nose because he picked it. Yeah, so you better get your finger out of yours, ma'am.
That's so funny.
Parenting tips 101.
Slughorn sees Malfoy and not, like, smirking a little skeptically, and he says, "When you've seen as much of life as I have, you will not underestimate the power of obsessive love." Shout out to Bellatrix and Snape. What up? Honestly. What the heck did my computer do? All right. Ernie Mac then asks, "What about the last cauldron? You didn't tell us about it." And Harry's pretty sure Slughorn didn't forget about it. He wanted to be asked for dramatic effect. Lovely.
I kind of love him. I'm sorry. I just love it.
Was your hand up?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No, I had an itch on my forehead.
Oh, got it. So this potion is splashing merrily. It's the color of molten gold, which that just looks so pretty in my mind. And there's, like, giant drops leaping like goldfish, but not a single particle was spilling out of it. So Slughorn automatically looks at Hermione and he's like, "I'm sure you can tell me what this is." And she said, "It's liquid luck. It makes you lucky." So the whole class, of course, is like, "Say what?" And finally, Malfoy is giving him his full attention. So somebody, you know, somebody's looking for some luck. Mm-hmm. So Slughorn goes on to describe Felix, and I'll dive a little bit more into it after this. He says, "Desperately tricky to make and disastrous to get wrong. However, if brewed correctly, as this has been, you will find that all your endeavors tend to succeed, at least until the effects wear off." Good old Terry Boot has a real good question. He says, "Well, why don't people just drink it all the time then?" And Slughorn says, because if it's taken in excess, it causes giddiness, and not so bad. Recklessness, maybe a little bad. And dangerous overconfidence. Hello, Ernie Mac.
I have a question. Do you think Terry Boot wears boots?
I hope they're high-heeled boots like Dumbledore.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, too much of a good thing, you know, highly toxic in large quantities, but taken sparingly and very occasionally. So then I went to the good old wiki. So Felix Felicis, which I always say wrong, so I hope I said that right. It was invented by Zygmunt Budge in the 16th century, and it's deemed to be his greatest accomplishment ever. It's also very difficult to make. It requires 6 months to stew before it's ready to be consumed. So this dude started this even before he knew he was getting this job, or he purchased it. I don't know. And then according to the Wonder Book of Potions,
he seems like somebody that would just have some, and maybe he just like put it in the cauldron for effect.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe he also knew that he was going to end up saying yes to Dumbledore.
This is true.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because he was after him for a while, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
According to the Wonder Book of Potions, they like listed out the whole recipe, like actually how to do it, but I just pulled the ingredients from it because I thought that was very interesting. There's ashwinder egg, there's horseradish, something called a squill bulb, and an anemone like growth on the back of a mertlap, a tincture of thyme, ground up alchemy eggshell, powdered common rue, and then the incantation is Felix Empera.
What a common rue you are.
The etymology, Felix is the Latin word for happy or lucky, and Felicis is from the same root. It's translated as of luck, so therefore it literally means luck of luck, lucky luck, or luck's luck, and it could also be translated to happy luck, which all of those apply. So Michael Corner says, have you ever taken it? And Slughorn says, yes, twice. It's very specific. He says, once when I was 24 and once when I was 57. I'd really like to know why those ages were picked. All he had to take was 2 tablespoons with breakfast, and he had 2 perfect days. And it's mentioned that he gazed dreamily into the distance, whether he was play acting or not, thought Harry, the effect was good. So that's actually today's lesson's prize. So if you were to brew a draught of living death today, you would win it. You win 1 tiny bottle, enough for 12 hours of good luck. Where's my bell?
12.
Thanks, ma'am. It's not over here.
Sorry, my bad.
From dawn till dusk, you'll be lucky in everything you attempt. But he does warn it's banned in organized competitions like sporting events, examinations, and elections. So whoever wins it can use it on an ordinary day. And I like this quote. And watch how the ordinary day becomes extraordinary. Yes.
Can we talk about how Slytherin of a teaching like lesson this is? He just like turned a lesson into a competition.
true.
I love
it. Everyone works hard at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty crafty method. So like I said, they have to brew a draft of living death, right? Is that the right way to say it?
I think so.
Shout out to Vinny for saying that. I don't want him to think I didn't see that he said it. That it was a Slytherin way of teaching a lesson.
No.
So.
I like how Slughorn says that he's like, this will be a more complex potion than anything you guys have ever attempted before. I don't expect a perfect potion from anyone, but whoever does the best will win, Felix.
I mean, it's a tricky... Think about what the potion does. That's tricky.
Yeah. So everyone gets to work. It's described as the concentration in the room was almost tangible. And Harry, of course, is always looking at Malfoy. And he sees him rifling through his textbook, and it says it could not have been clearer that Malfoy really wanted that lucky day. Obviously, he would like to just do his little mission without a hitch.
He would like to commit a successful murder, right?
I was going
to
say, like, do you think that it would have even worked for something like that?
I have no idea.
That's a really good question.
I think when it comes to Dumbledore, we can't treat it like a normal death because it's not. Because he knows at the end of the day he's going to die. So, like, I wonder if Draco had taken it and would have gotten lucky in the aspect of, like, at the end of that 12 hours, Dumbledore was no longer living. But that because Dumbledore's intention, he was going to die anyway. You know what I mean? Like, if it had just been any random person, I don't know if it would have worked as the same as if someone who like knew and was like accepting that they didn't have that much long to live.
It's like, but I don't variables.
Know. I like that too. What if it also determined what the true luck of a person would be? So let's say, just like it happens at the end of the book, he goes to kill him and he's actually putting his wand down to not do it. What if Draco's real luck would have been accepting the help from Dumbledore and being able to live and be safe that way?
Right. What help was Dumbledore giving him?
He was going to hide him and his family.
Where is that said?
In 7, at the end of this book, I'm sorry, when they're talking in the tower.
He tries to like talk him down.
Yeah. He's like, I can hide you and your family and XYZ.
You know he would have.
Yeah, for
sure. Well, yeah, he would have.
And it would have worked actually relatively been dead, well.
So.
Well, he would have tried to make that Snape would somebody have. Else would have helped. No, that would have given up a lot.
Yep. So Harry looks at his own textbook and he's very annoyed because there's scribbles all over it.
It's like looking in one of my books, although it's not as helpful. So
it's described as the margins were as black as the printed parts. And even in the ingredients part, the previous owner had made notes and crossed things out. So Harry's trying to decipher what the actual textbook says. He goes to get his ingredients. And as he comes back, he sees Malfoy cutting up valerian roots as fast as he could. And here goes my ACOTAR brain. Valerian? That's cool. Like Valeris. So I looked it up. And it's most commonly used for sleep disorders. It's like a medicinal plant or something.
Nighttime.
Right? Especially the inability to sleep. Valerian is also used orally for anxiety and psychological stress. Pretty cool. Just thought that was exciting. So everyone was looking around at everyone else. It's hard to keep your work private in potions. Within 10 minutes, the whole place is full of bluish steam. Hermione, of course, seems to be the one who has gotten the furthest. Her potion is the smooth black currant colored liquid that it's supposed to be halfway through. So Harry's looking at his book again. He's getting seriously irritated because he just can't decipher what the actual directions are. Quote, under all the stupid scribbles, which he will soon come to practically worship. So the previous owner apparently didn't like the directions that said cut the, here we go, soporific bean.
That sounds right.
And had written additional instructions that said crush with flat side of silver dagger releases juice better than cutting. And I was like, what's this bean? So it's the fruit of the soporific plant. It's a shriveled pearly white bean, which resembled an overgrown mistletoe berry. I believe this is not a real plant.
Just within Potter.
Yes, I believe so. It contains a thick silver juice that would remove the drinker's memory if just drunk neat, but in potion making, it doesn't seem to have that power. Sopo from Latin means deep sleep. Phosphorus or forus is more like just coming from the roots of phosphorus, which is like chemical. So basically, it comes up to mean bringer of deep sleep, which makes sense for Draft of Living Death.
Cool.
Fun facts.
Sick.
I wanted to make sure that what I said about Dumbledore offering help was correct. And I was right. So he's like, come over to the right side, Draco. We can hide you more completely than you can possibly imagine. What is more, I can send members of the order to your mother tonight and hide her likewise. Your father is safe at the moment in Azkaban. When the time comes, we can protect him too. Come over to the right side, Draco. You are not a killer.
He's not wrong. Draco's not a killer.
Yeah, I don't think he does anything to anybody.
Only with the ladies.
Oh my God. Draco?
I don't know.
Lady.
Yeah.
Pansy.
Pansy.
So Draco's trying to get Slughorn's attention, and he mentions that he thinks that he knew his grandfather, like Slughorn did. And he's like, yep, I did. And he's like, I'm sorry to hear about his passing. And this is where we learn that Draco's grandfather contracted dragonpox and didn't survive it. He's like, but, you know, getting it his age, you're not likely to survive it. Then Slughorn walks away, and Harry can tell that Malfoy was basically expecting to be treated more like how Zabini had been, or even with some preferential treatment like he had been used to with Snape. It's not the case at all. Slughorn seemed to not care about him in the least.
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled
It's all that bad press.
Yeah, he doesn't want to deal with Death Eaters.
Luscious Scott.
Which both that's why he doesn't invite him nor Theodore Knott, because Knott's father is also
look at that
a
picture.
Known Death Eater. So right. Dragonpox was a potentially fatal contagious disease that affected wizards and witches. Its symptoms were presumably similar to muggle illnesses like the chickenpox. In addition to leaving the victim's skin pockmarked, dragonpox caused a lasting greenish tinge. Simpler cases present with a green and purple rash between the toes and sparks coming out of the nostrils when the patient sneezes.
Isn't that what killed Potters, the mm-hmm, older Potters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Some known sufferers.
There you go.
Chauncey Oldridge was the first known victim.
Who was that?
Chauncey.
Is that from a video game?
Chauncey Lardon. I don't know. Let's look it up.
Click that sauce.
No. It's the author's official site.
Oh.
So it was first cases of dragonpox or wizards working closely with Peruvian viper tooths in the 1100s. Gunhilda, I don't know if it's Kanine or just Neen, was recorded as having to forego playing chaser in the Quidditch match when she came down with a touch of the sickness. The first person known to have lethally succumbed to dragon pox was Chauncey Oldridge.
Getting down with the sickness.
Jeez, Katie.
Howland Cooper, Gunhilda Neen, Alpheus Dodge, Tulip, Kara Sue.
Tulip.
They all had the Aldrich Diggory, Mr. and Mrs. Goldstein. They died from the illness. So did Abraxas, whatever his name is, Malfoy, Fleamont, and Euphema Potter.
Alpheus Dodge, I didn't realize that, but he survived.
Died from a combination of old age and the illness. The illness killed them.
Gunhilda Neen was from Daily Prophet newsletters. What's that? Is that like an old thing that used to come out?
I think yes.
Okay.
So the bean that Harry was supposed to cut up is being very difficult for him to cut up. So he asks Hermione if he can use her knife. She's like kind of distracted, so she says yes because she's looking at her potion that was a deep purple and not the lilac it was supposed to be. So Harry uses the knife to crush the bean and just produces way more liquid than he thought would come out of like this little dried bean. And he adds it to the potion and immediately it's changed to a lilac color. So Harry's not as annoyed anymore with the writing in the book. And he continues to read the instructions, which were the next ones were about stirring counterclockwise. And he did what the written in instructions were. So immediately the color was changing. And Hermione is demanding to know how he's doing it because her potion was still a purple color, like a deep purple. And when Harry told her to add a clockwise turn, she stopped him by saying, like, that's not what the book says. And so, like, according to his book, what were the instructions that were written in were for every 7 counterclockwise turns, there's 1 clockwise turn.
7.
So across from him, Ron's potion looks like licorice. Not at all what it's supposed to look like. And he's kind of noticed, like, Harry's noticing that no one else's potion is turning or has turned as pale as his. And he's, like, realizing like, for the first time, especially in potions, he seems to be the one that's doing really great. And then Slughorn is calling for time to be up. And then reading from the book, it says, Slughorn slowly moved along among the tables, peering into the cauldrons. He made no comment, but occasionally gave the potions a stir or a sniff. At last, he reached the table where Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ernie were sitting. He smiled ruefully at the tar-like substance in Ron's cauldron. He passed over Ernie's navy concoction, Hermione's potion. He gave an approving nod, and then he saw Harry's, and a look of incredulous delight spread over his face. The clear winner, he cried to the dungeon. Excellent, excellent, Harry. Good Lord, it's clear you've inherited your mother's talent. She was a dab hand at potions, Lily was. Here you are, then. Here you are. 1 bottle of Felix Felicis, as promised, and use it well.
So, like, all right. He did nothing wrong except follow directions.
That's not wrong.
And not feel under wild pressure.
Here's
and that's why
question.
He did well in his exam, too, because he didn't feel the pressure.
Yeah. Here's my question, though, because sure. You know Hermione followed it to the T.
Yes.
why wasn't her, like, if you're following it out of the book, this is what I never understood. Like, your potion should be absolutely fine.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe it wasn't cut perfect enough or some ingredient.
Was it about the bean juice?
Maybe.
I don't know. It just like bothers me. Or like, it makes me think, like, when we talk about this, like, versus cooking, and you can if you follow a recipe to the T, like, I guess this is baking. I was going to say, about making chocolate chip cookies.
Maybe it's the stirring. Doing
exactly, you know that she's going to be the person that does it exactly to the T correct.
Did she run out of time?
I don't think so. It doesn't say in the book.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question.
This just bothers me.
I kind of just always associated it to, like, I mean, even with baking, like, you can follow a recipe exactly, but, like, sometimes people just know how to, like, add little differences that make it that much better. And, like, clearly Snape,
maybe his cauldron was hotter.
I don't know. I mean, like, it could be down to something like that, though. Like, it's science, so, like, the amount of exactness, like, even off to a tiny T, could have made it just not perfect.
Science, the whole point of science is you're recreating the experiment exactly the same to get the exact same results. If you can't do that, if you cannot replicate what you're doing in the experiment to get the same results, then your experiment fails.
Or did Snape do it better than the creator of this potion?
I don't know. Just things I've thought whilst reading this.
Like, I'm sure Hermione's was great.
He did look approvingly.
Yeah, he liked it. Until he saw the chosen one.
But I am the chosen one.
Such a great line.
Anyways, Harry's happy to have won the potion, and he's winning / beating the Slytherins. Mm-hmm. It's just giving him a little bit extra oomph in his step. But he also feels guilty because he knows, well, by looking at Hermione, he can tell that she is upset about it. Mm-hmm. Because she's not used to being
number two.
Yeah, to her friends.
Who does number two work for?
So Ron just seems dumbfounded, and he asks him how he did it, and Harry's response is he just got lucky. And he's really only saying that because he knows that Malfoy is right there and he's listening to him.
Yes.
And so, like, once they're away from him and they're sitting at the Gryffindor table, he tells them what's what. And watching Harry's watching Hermione's reaction to him telling the story, and she just, like, seeing the look on his face, he's mad. And he's like, basically, like, what do you think, like, I cheated or something? Because he's really frustrated with her. So I'm gonna read from the book because I didn't feel like typing this all out. Well, it wasn't exactly your own work, was it? She said stiffly. He only followed different directions to ours, said Ron. Could have been a catastrophe, couldn't it? But he took a risk and it paid off. He heaved a sigh. Slughorn could have handed me that book, but no. I get the one that no one's ever written on. Puked on by the look on page 52. But hang on, said a voice close to Harry's left ear. And he caught a sudden waft of that flowery smell.
There she is, folks!
In Slughorn's dungeon. He looked around and saw that Jenny had joined them. Did I hear right? You've been taking orders from something someone wrote in a book? Harry, I don't know why I said it like that, but that's how it is. She looked alarmed and angry, and Harry knew what was on her mind at once. Okay, so obviously...
confirmed, obviously.
This is very upsetting to Ginny because of her past trauma with Tom Riddle's diary.
Mm-hmm.
One, obviously we know that was a very traumatic thing for an 11-year-old to go through. She doesn't want anyone to have to go through what she did, especially someone she cares about. So hearing this immediately is probably triggering for her and thinking, oh, Lord, basically, and not Lord Voldemort. So Harry tries to reassure her by saying it's not like the diary. It's just an old textbook someone wrote in. And quoting from the book, it says, but you're doing what it says. It says, I just tried a few of the tips written in the margins. Honestly, Ginny, there's nothing funny. And Ginny's got a point. Hermione interrupts him. She's kind of latching on to the idea that there's something off about this book. And I think part of it is because, like, she just doesn't think, like, she thinks she's the only one that could be that good. And she's mad that, she's not pleased that Harry did better than her. So Hermione doesn't like, obviously, that Harry has beaten her. So she wants to check and make sure that there truly isn't anything funny about the textbook. So she takes it from him, like snatches it from his hands. She she taps on it. I thought this had lapse and I didn't know what I wrote for a moment. So she taps on it and says, I'm going to say this incorrectly. Those are her exact words. She taps and says, I'm going to say it incorrectly. Just kidding. Specialis Revelio. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens. Literally not a dang thing. So I Googled this. You know, good old Google. According to the Wikia, Specialis Revelio was the incantation of a charm that revealed any spells performed on an object or potions. It was a variation of the Revelio charm. And I like that underneath, like, if you ever look at the Wikia, if they have, like, people or, like, what they have, like, all these things underneath them, like, on the side. And so under this one, it has, like, the incantation, how you say it, what type it is, the hand movement. It says, rap smartly. It's just really funny. Anyways, we know that these people do it. Ernest McMillian failed. Hermione, Harry, Ron, Draco, they all try to do this. And the etymology of it, basically, specialis, which is particular or individual, it's Latin, and revelar, which is the present tense of revelo. I don't know if I said that correctly. Unveil, altogether the incantation read to reveal the particulars of.
What's the one for humans, like hominum
revelio?
Yeah.
And nothing happens. Literally, the book just sits there. And so Harry's irritated and he gets his sassy self because he's like, are you finished or are you like waiting for it to do a trick? Like, you know, and so she's still kind of looking at the book like she doesn't trust it. I mean, I don't blame her, and I wouldn't blame Ginny either, because like that's a little suspicious.
It's also the wizarding world where like weird stuff happens.
Clearly, I mean, we know from past. And so, but she's like able to concede that it seems to just be a textbook. So Harry takes it back, and whilst he's like grabbing it back, he accidentally drops it on the floor, and then it's mentioned that he picks it up when no one's looking, which like, why would they care if you dropped your book on the floor and then like went to pick it up? But it seemed like he made the point to like make sure no one was looking when he went to go pick it up, whatever. So he picks it up and then he sees that there's something written on the back cover, and it's in the same handwriting that's on the inside of the book. And it says, this book is the property of the Half-Blood Prince.
Name drop.
Yep. Oh my gosh, this is the title of the book in the book.
Do you ever just like get a weird feeling when you read that? Like when you get to the title of the book?
Like a dun dun dun.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's important.
Yeah. Who's Eileen Prince?
I'll also say, know. It is noted that he put the Felix Felicis in his not shorts. In his socks in his trunk. Which I'm like, is that important to know?
Socks. There are socks again in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Good hiding space.
Sure.
That's the chapter.
That is the chapter. Let's do some lightning bolt questions.
Bring it on. Mm-hmm.
If I can remember how to do this every week. Here we go.
Hey.
All right. Wow, there's a lot today. Okay. Nope Rope asks, if there was Thanksgiving in the Wizarding World, what would you hope was at their feast?
Say it again.
If Thanksgiving was a thing at the Wizarding World, what would you want at the feast?
All the traditional things that my family would have. Turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, creamy casserole, stuffing.
I want one of Petunia's cakes that she makes in Chamber of Secrets that gets dropped on the head of...
Yeah, but those cakes aren't made with love. They can't taste good.
You don't know. I mean, it wasn't made with love by Petunia, but someone could make it with love.
Oh, someone. Yeah. I thought you meant
Petunia. She might have made it.
No.
If she was making it for her son, it's made with love.
She's mean.
I like a really delicious roll.
Ooh, yeah. I love rolls.
I have no time for bread. Give me the other stuff. Give me the other stuff.
You get no stuffing tomorrow.
Yeah, there's bread. You don't want stuffing.
Bread? It's different. It's got other things in it. Rolls are just vehicles for other things.
Yeah, which is butter, and that's delicious.
But, like, I don't...
A.
I'm fine.
B. usually we get really great rolls from Fragapan Bakery, which if you're in the Clevelandish area, West Side, delicious. Yeah. And they're like sweeter rolls. They got like cinnamon or something. Sometimes I get the one, like they also get ones with nuts on them, and then I get annoyed, so I have to take all the nuts off and then I eat it.
See, I just, I'm not a bread person.
I know. You lead a sad life.
I love bread.
The only time I like bread is if there's some meat and cheese in the middle.
Nope. I can just eat bread. I often do, just as a snack.
Just a slice of bread?
When I was a kid, I used to eat butter sandwiches.
God.
I mean, I'll eat bread with toast, or like toast. Bread or toast with like butter on it, but I don't.
I mean, bread and butter is.
I mean, it's
how much butter is in a butter sandwich? I need to know.
Oh, it's just like a normal amount.
So it's just like you're eating a piece of butter bread, but you slap two together.
Yeah, it's like as if you were to take like peanut butter in between two pieces of bread, but you put butter instead.
Yeah, but I load that sucker up with peanut butter.
Wow, a normal amount of peanut butter. I don't know what that is. Just a normal amount.
Oh my God. Non-existent.
Butter bread.
It's good.
Would you like a butter sandwich?
Okay, next question.
You butter my biscuit.
Katie T asks, did you have a Snape-like teacher in school?
Yep.
I feel like we all did. I feel like everybody knows Snape.
Yep. I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I did in college. Mm-hmm. I also did in grade school. That lady was up.
I don't remember. Anybody being
this
like,
lady, are you ready for this?
I remember
are you ready
strict, for this? Strict, but
this
not,
is straight up Snape BS.
Not me.
Okay.
Sure.
I was out in eighth grade for the chicken pox. Yes, folks, I got chicken pox in eighth grade. Anyway.
So did I.
What's
well, I just feel
that?
Like that's old. That's old for chicken pox usually.
Matt had them when he was probably in eighth grade because we had it at the same time and he's 7 years older than me.
My dad got them at the same time as me and he was like 40.
It's uncommon though.
It is.
To get them that age. So
the internet judges you.
There's some people that have never had them and they're grown.
True.
I mean, I was vaccinated for them, but in like, I think that that's why it just like, I don't know. I don't know why I got them when I did, but anyway. All right. Anyway. So I'm out of eighth grade for like, I don't know, like a week and a half or something because of chicken pox, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So this lady in my religion class, we were given a coloring project to do in eighth grade. Okay. We had to color a cross. And she never told me about that assignment for the week and a half that I was out. And I didn't know that I hadn't turned it in because I didn't know that it existed as an assignment.
Sure.
Literally gave me a C in religion because she failed that project and said that it was like worth 100 points or something. Literally coloring a cross. My mom was so mad.
You can tell I'm so far from thinking when you hear the word, well, two words, a cross.
A cross.
I thought, I'm literally thinking, what are you coloring a cross?
What are you coloring across? Like, is that what you said?
Like, instead of like
a crucifix.
Cross, like, oh my God.
What did you have to color across?
Sarah's crying.
Like, my mom was so mad. This lady would not backpedal on it. And I got a C in freaking eighth grade for religion because of this dang coloring project.
You should find that lady.
That lady was a Snape. I think she still works there.
Maybe she needed She's to find a worst. New across.
She needed to do something. Oh,
she needed God. To pray is what it sounds like.
Yeah, Lord. Sorry you failed your coloring project.
Like, what the heck? I'm in eighth grade. You're going
to be a theology. Of all of the classes, it's theology,
yeah,
which
really.
Is like the easiest one.
Really?
It's okay. The high school I was trying to get into didn't care, so. Anyway, anybody else have any Snape-like stories? Anything?
I had a teacher that didn't like me, and she made me sit by myself.
Rude.
Hmm. Yeah.
Anything else to add?
Okay. No, I've told my horror teacher story many times.
Oh, I know. That lady was awful. I had her too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Katie Kayaktel asks, do you think Snape's handwriting changed from writing in his book to teaching, which is why Harry and even Ron and Hermione, when they tried using it and looked at it, didn't recognize it?
Well, you also have to think, like, he's writing in margin, so he's, like, writing tiny, and I don't know. Maybe
my handwriting doesn't change. Still can't read it.
I have different ways that I write.
Yeah.
That doesn't always look the same.
I would agree that I do as well. If I'm writing for myself, I know what I wrote for the most part. So like if you read something, like ask anyone that's seen my actual, like for me handwriting, they would be like, I literally have no idea what you wrote. But if I wrote for other people, my handwriting is neater.
So maybe that's his case. I mean, he's writing in the book for himself and writing on the board.
Part
for
of
them.
Me thinks that like there's some theories out there, like because Lily is such a good person at potions, like what if it was like her book or like he wrote it to help her or like I don't know. There's like theories about that. Like I was literally thinking, I'm like, I wonder if he really went into potions because it makes him think of her.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. Like literally, Lala is his life.
So. Lala,
yeah.
Maybe he just wanted his handwriting to look better for her. Like he copied her handwriting, copied her Patronus. I don't know.
Maybe he just uses magic to write on the boards. It's not like really his handwriting.
It's true.
Well, I would think that it would take the spellcaster's handwriting.
I agree, but I don't know. I'm just trying to make this.
But like maybe whoever invented like the spell to like move chalk, like
maybe it made it maybe it neater.
But like say like it was Jokey White that decided to make the spell
head
in like the
cannon.
1600s of like I'm sick of writing on this board with my own hands. Chalk movio, I don't know.
Chalk movio.
And whoever invented the spell that had people writing on boards for them, it's that person's handwriting.
Vinny says maybe the spell has a standard font.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I like that.
Only Impact.
Only in Impact.
I kind of like Helvetica.
That's what I'm saying.
This
like,
is
if,
some
what
nerd
if it's
stuff
font,
happening right now.
But what if it's the person, like, that's how they wrote? You know what I mean?
Comic
yeah,
Sans.
Yeah. No.
Papyrus.
Yeah, but no. I guess Comic Sans is really good for people with dyslexia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Can't we come up with a new handwriting like looking one that's not Comic Sans?
I love Times New Roman. It's my preferred.
Wingdings.
I really like Gotham.
So does Batman.
Calibri.
I just really like good old Helvetica Noia.
Oswald.
Noia.
Okay, I'm asking
Roboto. Okay.
Rapid fire. Two things. Your love potion. Go.
Marty.
What does Marty smell like?
Delightful. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I think I've said this before, but tomatoes on the vine smell like my childhood home because we had rather large.
It's a good
Marty
scent.
Calls it a
they
farm.
They kind of smell a little bit like greenery.
Nah, they're gardens. Photosynthesis plants.
that is a good scent.
It is a good scent. Every time I buy tomato, like I only buy tomatoes on the vine unless I need like a specific like smaller tomato, but I always smell
you can
them.
Buy small ones on the vine too sometimes.
Okay. Your neck. I love you so much.
Okay, that was two.
Rapid fire.
Not even saying Katie.
Well, because I have
Taylor
three.
Swift.
I've come up with three like immediately.
No,
I'm just gonna say three.
Delete
sorry.
One. No,
nope.
No.
Delete one. Katie, which smells like Old Spice, because that's
okay. So you and Marty.
So Katie,
so we
like
both
Marty.
Like the smell of Marty.
You come over and get a whiff.
And then two other very specific scents would be a bookstore and.
Oh.
The smell of a water ride at Disney World.
No, I'm telling you,
moldy
about...
water.
Yeah. You can't have Katie in there twice.
Good old smell of pirate.
Oh my god!
Hey.
That was...
I'm not saying I smell good, but I don't smell like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Do you need some aloe for your burn?
So you're saying that you like the scent of like dead people in water because don't people put ashes in the water ride? Where's the lie?
I hope not.
Do they?
You haven't heard that people do it all the time.
What kind of Disney nightmare is this?
It is truly very illegal. So
don't do that.
You should.
But yeah, people do it all the time. But then honestly, if they see you doing it, they have to close the ride down for the rest of the day and clean out. The ride.
People do that?
Yes.
That's bonkers.
I will say, if you need to scatter ashes, make sure you're doing it in a legal way.
Jiminy.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
People do it in Haunted Mansion a lot. apparently.
Well, it seems only right.
House of ghosts.
They're always asking for that 1,000th ghost.
Yeah, you geez.
Got room for one more.
So, but yeah, anyway, I love the smell of the water rides at Disney. Splash Mountain and Pirates of the Caribbean.
That does have a specific scent.
Love it.
Smells like fire a lot too, though.
Love it.
Love it.
Katie, what scents do you care for?
Meg, which she just smells like her. I can't describe it. And Sunshine Fur.
Oh, yeah.
Sunshine Fur.
Mm-hmm. It was one of your three.
Mine will smell like four things. Mine will smell like five things. I'm going to throw in rain, too.
Like rain. I'm only having it when it rains. Is that a song? I think Did I make so. That up? Okay.
No, I think that's.
All right, Sassafras.
I don't know. What do I like?
What do you like
of?
To sniff? Your own know. Brand.
You're not wrong, though. I would say leather. I like the smell of leather. Why are you laughing so hard? What?
She still can't talk.
Feeling you're not wrong.
Well, here's a lie.
Okay.
I don't know. I would say leather and maybe like a good fire. Mm-hmm. Probably my top two scents. I like more masculine scents.
Seamsies.
For yeah.
Yeah, I like the smell of fire. Bonfire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cinnamon is a good scent.
That's a good question.
What about like freshly baked bread? Mm. It's also a great smell.
Especially like herbally one, like if it's got like rosemary and olive oil, that's a good scent.
My mouth is watering.
Yeah. Asiago.
There's bread again.
Bread.
Bread.
Yeah. Cedar's a good scent.
Maybe I'll eat bread tomorrow.
Sandalwood
to
I like.
Honor you all.
Yes, me too. I really enjoy sandalwood. Mm.
There's a lot of like Christmassy kind of scents. Clove. I love a lot. Mm-hmm.
I love clove.
Nothing too sweet. Amy I'm not a Mom. Sweet person.
You're pretty sweet.
No. I don't know if that's true. Garlic is another scent I freaking love. I don't know if I'd want to smell that like on another person.
Garlic.
But God. That's a good scent to walk into your home and it smells like garlic. Yes.
Mm, Illyrian leather.
I would not say no to that.
Oh, do we have any more
inside of it?
Shall we ask one more?
Sure.
Spossy or Jen asks, what do you think Slughorn used Felix for?
Maybe he just says he needed a good day.
Is he ever married?
I don't think so.
Maybe he went on a really fun outing with a person when he was younger, and then maybe had some really great food when he was older. I don't know.
Maybe he wanted to try something that he was a little nervous about, like something risky or something like jumping out of an airplane, and he just wanted to make sure he didn't die.
Maybe he made like a really great connection one of those days. You know how he's always connected people.
Yeah,
maybe.
Gwenog Jones, perhaps.
Maybe he wanted to win the lottery. Vinny's saying something tells me it could be related to money, like an investment. Maybe he invested in vests.
Maybe it was one of those. Maybe he made a really good deal, like selling acromantula venom.
Hannah says maybe. To talk to a woman.
I don't think he'd have a problem with that.
He seems very easygoing.
He seems the type of person that would talk to anybody. That he wants to, I should say.
All right, are we ready for the house cup?
There was no bingo.
Boo.
No bingos.
There hasn't been a bingo in a long time.
I know.
Hufflepuff won the house cup this week, though.
Congratulations.
260 points.
Yeah, badger.
Oh my God, we...
Slytherin in second with 100, Gryffindor in third with 70, and Ravenclaw in fourth with 10.
So proud of you,
Puffs. Oh my God.
You know why we smashed it? Because we talked about food a lot.
Yeah, true.
Oh yeah. Awesome. It's good to be a Puff today.
Good job.
Okay. Fan story. Oh, they happen to be Hufflepuff too.
Perfect.
Comes from Kelly. This is from February of 2019. Hi, Swishers. My name is Kelly. My Hogwarts house is Hufflepuff. The second Pottermore website tried to sort me into Gryffindor, but by that point, I was a proud Hufflepuff, so I took the test again to get my true house. Ilvermorny House, Thunderbird. Oh my god, are we twins? Patronus and Ibizen Hound?
I don't know.
I think that they like kind of look like those like deer hounds.
Yes. Wand, Cypresswood, Unicorn Hair Core, 11 1/4 inches. Supple flexibility. Oh, it's a cute
pup. They're cute. They do not look like the deer hounds. They're like...
Put it in the chat.
Yeah, they're cute.
Oh my gosh, their ears.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. Kelly says, I first heard about the Potter series when the information came out about filming for the first movie. At the time, you couldn't catch me without a book in my hand, so I knew I needed to get to the first book. My father made a big deal about not driving me the 45 minutes to the bookstore, left the room, and returned immediately with a copy of Sorcerer's Stone. He was holding out on me. He had bought the copy for himself when it first came a couple years ago. He couldn't get past the first chapter, so he just left it on a shelf. I devoured the books that were out at the time. On a long car ride, my little brother was bugging me, so I started reading the first book from the beginning to him. He hated reading, but loved the story. The books were a little over his reading level, and I didn't want to read it all out loud to him, so my mom got the audiobooks on cassette. I fell in love with the books all over again, hearing Jim Dale voice all the characters. The rule was we couldn't listen ahead in the tape if I hadn't read it in the book first. For the middle books, the audio version was released months later than the physical copy. My brother couldn't wait that long to find out what happened, so he picked up the physical copy and read. It was a miracle. He had never voluntarily read anything ever in his life. He's an avid reader now, and we contribute it all to Harry Potter. As each book and movie came out, I would go back and reread or listen to the books that came before. I have no idea how many rereads I've done at this point. I was at least 4 midnight showings of the movies. The last movie was with my whole family, including my dad, who has now read and enjoyed all the books. Last fall, 2018, I decided to do a reread because it had been a while since I had dived into the world. I thought about starting at book 4 because that's where the action really starts, but then I'd miss Lupin and Sirius, and I can't do that. If I was starting with 3, I might as well start at the beginning. to make those first 2 books more fun, I decided to listen to podcasts that go through the books chapter by chapter. That's where I found Swish and Flick and 4 other podcasts that I listen to. You guys are my favorite, obviously, and I've already dropped 2 of the others because you are better.
Oh, thanks.
Because of my complete obsession, I have convinced my family to take a trip to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in April of 2019. Oh my god, I need to hear how it went. I am so excited. I have 6 weeks to finish books 4 through 7. That's 3 chapters and corresponding podcasts a day. I was so disappointed when I listened to your book 4, chapter 11 show and realized I was all caught up. I now won't have your insight and humor for the rest of the books, and it makes me a little sad. This just means I will have to do another reread after my trip. I can't wait to proudly wear my Hufflepuff sweater down the streets of Diagon Alley, where people understand why I'm wearing a badger sweater. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to catch up with your podcast in a couple months. And then she included a picture with
a really cute sweater.
It's
so cute. It's like the perfect, if they had a badger face emoji,
yeah,
that's what it would look like.
That's what it would be.
Kelly, thank you for sending your story in. I want an update on your trip. I hope it was amazing. Good job getting that in before 2020.
Truly.
Yeah, right.
And I love that your whole family just loves Potter. That's super cool.
It's really cute.
All right, joke time. Apologies if this was read before because I don't have my book here in Cleveland, so I just Googled Harry Potter jokes, and a lot of them I've already said, so... Why did Severus Snape stand in the middle of the road? So nobody could tell what side he was on.
I don't know if you said that, but I have heard that. That's a good turkey one. Jokes.
Yes.
Give it.
What did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving Day?
Gobble, gobble.
Quack, quack.
Get it? Genius.
What key has legs and can't open a door?
Turkey.
Let's see. Why shouldn't you sit next to a turkey at dinner? Because he will gobble it up. What do you call a running turkey?
What?
Fast food.
Oh my god.
What's blue and covered in feathers? A turkey holding its breath.
Oh my gosh.
What's the best song to play while cooking a turkey? all about that based.
Oh,
that's
truly though. That's all I'm going to sing now.
What did the turkey say to the computer? Google, Google. There's more, but we don't need to read them.
Okay.
All right. Make sure that you follow your hosts on social media. Myself and Katie are on Instagram at the Petrus Family. Tiffany's on Instagram at @tiffswish_flick. And Sarah is on Instagram at O'Malley with 3 H's.
My chapstick fell.
Poor chapstick.
I got Pokemon Diamond. It's fun. I'm not very far. I only have time for like little bits. But I chose Piplup. And
lots of penguin folks.
Yes. I usually choose fire, but like I said, I've said this before, I just don't care for monkeys. I know a lot of people. Marty loves monkeys. Every time we go to the zoo, let's go see the monkeys. Sure. I just
sure.
There's just something about them.
They weird me out.
They're just too so human. They're too close to us, man. Oh, anyways. Yeah.
I heard a joke the other day. Was it on Instagram about monkeys? Because it was like, did you know that humans eat more bananas than monkeys? Mm-hmm. And the daughter was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, I've never seen a human eat a monkey.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I was like, wait, what? Oh, my God. That's good. I am officially on break, and I'm very happy about it. I'm feeling very, very, very burnt out this school year, much like a lot of other teachers that I have gathered from hearing what they have to say on the internet and some of my friends. It's just, I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot this year. But I'm happy to have the ability to have a break. And I don't know, that's kind of it, I think. I'm just laying low. Staying under the radar. What about you?
Have fun with that.
Thanks.
We've been in Cleveland this week, so we've been eating lots of good food, seeing lots of friends, getting tattoos, which was fun. I finally got my Taylor Swift tattoo.
Yeah, you're doing like a lot.
I feel really bad because my friend, like, so we get back home on Saturday and my friend invited us. She was like, hey, I'm cooking like a Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday. You guys are more than welcome to come. And I was like, this is by no means because I don't want to see you, but I really just need to do nothing for a couple of days when I get home. So yeah. I'm really sorry, but like, I just really can't wait to go home and just like relax for a few days. I'm just tired.
I get that. Like, I did not leave my house at all today. I just don't, yeah. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah. I can't wait to do that. But yeah, I also got Pokemon, but I have not had a chance to start it yet, but I'm going to choose Turtwig. He's my fave. And also, my friend, shout out to Carrie. My friend Carrie really talked up the expansion on Animal Crossing to me the other night. And I went to go and play it, and I realized that I left my Animal Crossing game at home, so I can't play it. And I was so excited to play it. I was like, oh, she really talked it up. Like, I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. Like, you can, like, design your villagers' homes and stuff now. And,
oh,
like,
cool.
It's like, and that's my favorite part about Animal Crossing. Like, honestly, I don't really care about the playing part. I just like the building,
yeah,
and the acquiring. And, like, I could be in build mode, like, all day on my island and be perfectly happy. And, like, that's just all I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what the expansion is. And I was like, well, shoot. Now I have to wait. So.
Not much longer. That's what you can do with your nothing.
Days. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to do that all day on Sunday.
My life is exactly the same as Meg's. Pretty much. Got tattoos. I got a cute little Zero on my leg now, and I'm obsessed with him. He's so cute. He's gonna be my little running buddy. Yeah, really. Oh, I just touched it and got Aquaphor all over me.
Aquaphor.
Not gonna do that. I wanted to start my Pokemon game. I swear we're just like not allowed to this trip, which like whatever. I'm having fun. It's fine. But
I know,
like,
I keep like trying to sit down and play video games, and it just never happens.
Even at like night, but then like we've been doing so much, which is awesome.
I brought books to read, and I just haven't read.
Good thing you have a billion to be shipped to your house.
I do. I think it was Brandon who was like, "Isn't it funny how you get like more tired on vacation?"
Yeah,
you're right. Because you need a
vacation
stuff.
From your vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always like to have like a day before I have to do anything after. Yeah.
We're coming home on Saturday.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just super good seeing everybody.
It's really hard.
It's cold.
To like figure out time.
Yeah.
When you come up to visit.
It's hard.
You have a lot of people.
Yeah. It's stressful. It's like stressful to come up and visit, but like good at the same time, you know?
You just want to make sure you get enough time with everybody. And there's never enough time.
That's why when I go home, I don't tell people.
I know.
But I go home more often than you.
Yeah.
They don't listen to this podcast.
I don't care about family. It's just my
friends. Oh my God. Sometimes it just doesn't work out too, you know? Because everyone else has their own schedule as well.
It's true. It's a holiday time.
Right. Or it's like the middle of the week and I was able to take off, but they're working. So it's okay.
Yeah.
All in good time.
I want to clarify that I'm not talking about Katie's family. I love to see Katie's aunts. I don't want to see my family.
You don't want to what?
I don't want to see my family.
Oh, I thought you said Smee-smee-smaff.
What's up, Sarah?
I literally have done nothing. I watched the first three episodes that were out of Wheel of Time.
You read a book, too.
Did I?
Yes, you read Molly's book.
Oh, I finished it. It was okay. I liked it.
She reads like it's nothing now.
It's the only book I've read since last week.
Yeah.
Well, I already started. I haven't really read anything.
Yeah.
How
many books have you read this year?
84, maybe.
I've read more books this year than I have in the past. It is like under 10.
Yeah. I think my goal for next year is just going to be read 50 books. That's what I'm going to, because this year was only 24.
Oh, knock that one out of the park.
I was that goal. April. So I'm going to give myself some grace and just do 50 books for next year. But I watched Wheel of Time. I'm not going to give any spoilers away. I liked it. There are some things, obviously, when anything is changed from book to film, whether it's TV or a movie or anything, things are changed. There are some things that I just don't understand why they changed it. But I'm excited to see where it goes. And then I realized that the guy that plays Matt has been recast. Like, they told us before it even aired that he was recast for season two.
I wonder what happened with that.
I don't know, because I like him a lot.
Wouldn't you say he was hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very attractive. And I will be the first one to admit that when I am consuming media like that, I like to look at attractive people.
Yeah.
I should say people that I find attractive. So, like, I like it so far. And the main character, the guy that plays Rand, makes me think of Hayden Christensen in, like, episode two of Star Wars. Just, like, the way he carries himself. I don't know. Really like it. I'm excited to, like, continue to watch it. I don't love that I have to wait to watch the full season, but, like, I get why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. I still have to watch it. I haven't watched it yet. But I have been, I guess I didn't even say, you started back into book four.
I bought another copy of it. And I wanted to finish Molly's book first, which I did. Mm-hmm. And then I just haven't picked it up.
Cause
honestly, I just haven't felt like reading.
I'm also in book four, which, what is it called?
What's it? Shadow Rising. You're further ahead than I am. I'm on chapter, like, well, it's funny because, like, I picked up my other copy of it, and I was like, there's no way I'm this far in.
Do you have to start over because you don't remember?
No, I don't think I will. So I'm going to start that specific chapter over, because I did go on, like, the Wikia to, like, kind of read, like, the summary up until where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I also spoiled a lot of this book for me. Not just this book, but the whole series.
Before. Not
correct.
This
correct.
Time.
Yeah. Correct. Before, whilst I was reading it. So
I'm honestly tempted to.
It's a long series.
It is a long series. I mean, if I finish this, I have 10 more books.
Yeah.
print's not small, folks. The writing is tiny.
Well, like, and so I was telling Tiffany, I was at Books a Million a while ago, and I noticed that they had a new, like a different copy of the books. They were like bigger. So I was like, oh, I'm like, maybe the print will be a bit bigger and it'll be like less pages. It's still like 900 and some pages.
They're thick with two C's.
Like, right now in my current season of life of like being right this moment, I don't really want to pick up a thick book, and I just swore and I apologize.
God,
but I don't want to pick up like a giant book.
No,
like to the point I keep looking at books to read like on Kindle Unlimited.
You've been plowing through those.
Yeah, but I specifically look at books that are less than like 400 pages. Like some of them are less than 300. So like that's easily readable in a day.
Yeah.
Where like that's genuinely like this month I read more Kindle Unlimited books than anything else. I've only read like three, and like one of them was a graphic novel. So like I count that as I read the book. But like other than that,
and as much as Wheel of Time is fantastic, like I mean
it's really good.
Fantastic, it's a good fantasy. Some parts are slow and drag, and Robert Jordan is quite descriptive.
Also, like everybody has a
many
name.
Things. Everybody has a name.
Sometimes you meet the
and
person once,
and they're long names, and sometimes you don't know how to say them. And luckily for me, I'm listening to this one, so I know how to say them.
You know, I
don't know how to spell them. Mm-hmm. It's you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to read next. Or what I'm going to watch next. I'll continue watching Wheel of Time. It's been greenlit, too, I think, for season two already before the first season came out. I like it so far. I'm excited to see where it goes. I mean, I know what happens. That's literally, I've done nothing.
You always start out like that, and then you, like, tell us a bunch of things.
Truly, I watched the first three episodes that were out, and then I finished a book and in a week. When normally I'm like,
Sarah, I haven't done that.
Okay. Other than that, we took pictures.
We take pictures.
Put the Christmas tree up because it was already up.
There's a lot.
I fell off a chair after telling Alana not to stand on it in case it fell, and I fell.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
You all right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just clumsy.
Just checking on you. Okay. Well, we have a lot of things that this is for Felix, Frokes, and Favorite Sense, and also a little bit of Smee's math.
Accurate.
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
You know, that's like a thing now. When did that start being a thing of what the episode was for?
I don't know.
You ready, Yanni McGee?
Yeah.
Yanni McGee. Okay.
My dad texted us and asked if we were home yet for the dog.
Sure, Jan.
She's okay. She's sleeping. I know she is.
Guys, my dad and this dog. I get more gelato. Mm, so good.
Gelato.
The best potatoes on vacation
I've
ever
eaten. Please go get it and say that.
Can I have some gelato?
You know somebody has.
Biscuit tasted exactly like a Red Lobster biscuit, just smaller.
So I was like, when I grow up, I want to be flaky. I want to be delicious. I want to be a biscuit.
Is that?
Bye, Swishers.